This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Now the Jaguars see their 2-0 start in the preseason evaporate, a 48-17, rather one-sided victory for the Ravens over the Jaguars. Welcome in to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Quickly, let's get you updated on the other games going on around the National Football League. Just two other Thursday night games in the preseason. Green Bay looked very good early. Aaron Rodgers capping a couple of early drives with touchdown runs. The quarterback running in from 12 yards and 5 yards out. And the Packers went on to a 27-13 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Rodgers in the ballgame, 12 of 22 passing, 154 yards. Did have an interception, but he was a leading rusher for the Packers, 6 carries and 52 yards, not something that he wants to do all that often. Interestingly enough, the Packers really shut down Cincinnati's offense, held them to 195 yards of total offense. Andy Dalton was leading rusher for Cincinnati as well, and he had a bad day throwing the football, just 5 of 17 for 40 yards and a quarterback rating of 39.6 as the Green Bay Packers beat Cincinnati 27-13 at Paul Brown Stadium. Elsewhere, going on right now, fourth quarter just underway. Tennessee a 23-20 lead on Arizona. Tennessee got a Colin McCarthy 31-yard interception return for a touchdown. Jake Locker directed 2 touchdown drives, throwing a couple of touchdown passes in his time in the ballgame with the Tennessee Titans, and it will be Locker who will get the start. By the way, just keeping a half an eye on this one in the one of the monitors here at Jaguar Central. Boy, Arizona looks like they are really not a very good team at all.
Not at all.
Larry Fitzgerald and a bunch of guys trying to figure out what they're doing right now.
Cobb, is that? That's a security blanket.
Yeah, Cobb and Skelton, anybody else is back there trying to find 11 when he drops back there. Those are the only games going on today, those three games in the National Football League here in week 3 of the preseason. And Marco Coleman, we came into this game saying there haven't been a lot of negatives and a lot of areas for concern for the Jaguars through the first two preseason games. Does today's game change that? Do you have some concerns that cropped up suddenly, particularly on the defensive side?
Not really. You look at what you're missing. You're missing both your starting corners. You're missing Alo-Alo didn't play a lot. And Darryl Smith, I mean, you look at those guys, you plug those four guys back into your lineup, I think you see a lot different type of game from the defense. They'll be a lot more competitive with those guys in there.
Saw a tweet that somebody on the Ravens broadcast said that, well, after a game like this, Maurice Jones-Drew is going to have a lot more leverage. apparently they weren't watching the same thing I was watching. Rashad Jennings still running the football. All three Jaguars who ran the ball, Jennings, Murphy, and Parmalee, all averaged over 4 yards a carry.
The offensive line is doing an outstanding job. I thought they did a good job pass blocking. They gave up the one sack, I believe, on Blaine, where just no one blocked the guy. But other than that, I've never seen Blaine just stand there so with not many people on his feet, unless they blitz. You know, those guys did a good job running and blocking.
Yeah, that changed, by the way, when
not running and, I mean, pass blocking and
run blocking. Yeah, that all changed, by the way, when you saw the second and third teamers in there with Henny.
Yeah.
That pass protection was not particularly good. Definitely Justin Blackmon, another good day, 4 for 72 for the rookie from Oklahoma State. Guy looks like he can really play.
Between him and Jennings, you got big play potential. Both these guys come out, they get big chunks of yardage. And that's what you got to do in this league, is get down the field and get down there fast. Between those two, it can happen.
Concerned at all that LaRon Robinson is yet to get an official catch game?
That's
and didn't get a catch in this game and had a couple balls thrown to him and pass interference called one time as well, but boy, it was. I expected him to have a bigger impact on things so far.
Well, here, pretty much the whole preseason, he hasn't been as productive as I think that he should be, considering the role that he has to play. You know, he's going to have to step up even in that number two role. I mean, he's got to be someone else that's going to take a little bit of pressure off of Blackmon in order for him to really get it going.
All right, Gabbert, as a general rule, the numbers are certainly not as impressive as the first two games. Was this a step-forward kind of game? Was this a maintain kind of game? Was it a step-back kind of game?
I thought it was a good game. Well, not a good game for him, but he didn't no interceptions. Mm-hmm. I don't think he made really bad decisions. You got to look at what he went against. He went against one of the best defenses in the league and played them at home. Mm-hmm. There's very few quarterbacks that can go to Baltimore and have a lot of success. That just really doesn't happen often.
And now it's going to be interesting to see how things play out because the first line of cuts come up due by 4 o'clock on Monday. Jaguars need to cut the roster from 90 down to 75. So they're going to have to make some cuts. 15 players will be let go by the Jaguars between now and Monday. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
The toughest time of the season. Toughest time.
You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a reminder that Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, five-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. And the Jaguars, one more chance in the preseason. They'll wrap things up against the Falcons a week from tonight at Everbank Field, a Thursday night game, final game of the preseason, final tune-up. Where do you, you know, at this point, we probably aren't going to see anything too dramatically that's going to change our idea about what this team looks like next week, I wouldn't think. Barring injuries. We'll talk about the kind of impact that the injuries and so forth have with next week's game approaching as well. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. Let's head to the locker room. Jeff Loggeman has our coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Cole. Here with head coach Mike Mularkey. Mike, third preseason game. You know, you kind of want to have that kind of feeling of gaining momentum going into the season, but not the result you were probably expecting.
No, we obviously we didn't play well enough, and they did. We just got off to a slow start, especially offensively, and just we could never get our momentum going against them. And give them credit, they had a high tempo all night, especially with their offense, and we just didn't respond to it. But we got a lot of work to do. I told our guys maybe this is just exactly what we needed to maybe wake us up a little bit and bring us off our high horse.
Early in the game, it appeared that whether it be penalty or sack, I mean, when you all of a sudden start a drive out with negative yardage, all of a sudden you're fighting back out of a hole against a team that 1 year ago was the third-ranked defense in the National Football League that plays extremely well at home. You just can't do that.
No, you can't. It's just too hard to overcome, really against anybody, but against a team like this at home trying to make up those lost yards that you were responsible for, pretty difficult, and stalls drives and puts our defense back on the field, and I just thought they were on the field for way too many plays.
Defensively, early on, good on third down, but then all of a sudden they were able to mass some drives, quite a few of them over 80 yards. You want to make them earn it, but you don't want to let them drive the field.
Yeah, I've got to look at everything. I know we had a lot of missed tackles. That's one thing we've talked about, doing a better job of tackling in space. They hit a couple holes there, and, you know, they've got some talent on that side as well. They got guys that can make things happen after the catch, and you saw it tonight.
One thing that I'm sure you want to get clean up going to the opener, special teams. It's amazing how many games you can win by being good on special teams, and for a team that's trying to ascend and change the culture, special teams has got to be there.
Well, the thing we got is a bunch of young guys that they're doing what we're asking them to do as far as flying around, running, and trying to be physical, but there's also a technique and really fundamentals that go with it. They can't run down there and get out of their lanes and do something on their own. It all fits together, and we'll get that fixed. I have no question that John Bonamigo will take care of that. We'll get better, but these things have to happen in order for us to teach off it. What did we do wrong, and what will happen if we do that wrong? And that's why we play these preseason games. That's why we practice. We'll get better because of what happened tonight.
Injuries, number of guys going in on the cart tonight. Aaron Morgan, Zach Miller, George Selvey, Julian Stanford, Matt Veldman. Any update on any of them?
Not yet. I just went in and the doctor was just looking at him as we came in the locker room. I have no update on him.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Okay, Jeff.
All right, that was the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, and that's the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report. Jeff Loggeman and Mike Mularkey first in every Winn-Dixie post-game show. Well, score a touchdown with GEICO in just 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. We'll have a final stats check brought to you by Wells Fargo when we return on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on Jaguars Radio. M&T Bank Stadium for more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Quickly to the locker room where Jeff Loggeman has Tyson Alualu.
All right, thank you, Brian. Tyson, obviously not the results you were expecting on defense tonight against a Ravens team that ran a lot of no huddle on you.
Yeah, they came out. I think they had a good game plan on us, and we just got to watch the film, see what we need to get better at, and just come out at practice working harder.
You had off-season knee surgery last week. You played 8 to 10 snaps this week. It got bumped up a little bit more. How's the knee feeling?
Knee's feeling great. It's one of those things where I'm just trusting the process and just listening to the coaches, whatever they want me to do. And it's heading in the right direction. So I'm excited to go into season with a healthy knee.
You know, it's the third preseason game. It's the game that you really kind of want to have your best dress rehearsal in. Things didn't go well, but the positive from so far the preseason is you guys appear to be ascending. But this kind of is a little bit of a reality wake-up, isn't it? Hey, it's time to go back to work.
Yeah, I mean, we look at it as, good. It's better happen now than later. So, like I said, we just got to go watch where we need to get better at and just come out with the right mindset and just learn from our mistakes.
All right, thank you, Tyson.
You got it.
Appreciate All right, well, you can sip more and pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Time for some of the numbers in a Wells Fargo stats check. Jaguars, 258 yards of total offense tonight, 153 from the passing game on 16 completions, and 105 from the ground game on 24 rushing attempts. Blaine Gabbert finishes 11 of 21 for 117 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked once, 68.9 passer rating. Rashad Jennings, a nice performance tonight, 13 carries for 57 yards. Third straight game, over a 4 yard per carry average, 4.4. Richard Murphy had a 6-carry, 25-yard night, scored a touchdown, and Jalen Parmalee carried 5 times for 23 yards. Let's go downstairs. Mercedes Lewis is standing by with Jeff Langevin.
Thank you, Brian, here with Mercedes Lewis. And Mercedes just couldn't seem to get any rhythm tonight offensively against one of the better defenses in the league.
Yeah, tonight, they just were a better team tonight. They did a good job of getting off the field on third down, and we couldn't keep drive sustained. Obviously, it's a lot to learn from. Better to learn from it now than, later on in the season. So, we needed this.
One thing that's happening up front, the offensive line is having to shift around a little bit with some injuries. But you guys are running the ball very well. That's what you expect out of your unit, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm obviously we pride ourselves on that. You never hear anybody on defense or defensive coordinator say we need to stop the pass. You know, they want to be able to stop the run. And if we can run the ball and continue to do it the way we're doing it, everything else would be easier. So, obviously, there's some holes in our game that we need to fix and patch up. But, like I said before, it's good that it happened now. And us by no means as a team think we've arrived. We still have a lot of work to do, and that's what we're going to do.
One thing that's very different about this offense from last year, a lot of shifts, a lot of motions. How do you like it now that you've seen it for 3 preseason games?
I love it because they can't just tee off on you. You know, it's not like we're just coming in an I formation or, just a normal formation where they can just sit there and go through all their keys and tee off on you because they know what's coming. So, for us, it's a lot of window dressing, a lot of moving around, getting them, having to move around and shift too, and then bing, you snap the ball. They have a lot to think about.
Justin Blackmon, extremely solid here in his second preseason game. Do you ever just sometimes just when you're not on the field stop and look and just watch?
Well, I'm never not on the field, so he does it when I'm on the field, and I'm just like, wow. You know what I mean? When the ball's in the air, he's going to get that. He great balance, great after the catch. I'm excited from what I've seen so far.
All right, so number 32. Have you talked to him at all? And hopefully you get him back.
I've talked to him maybe 2 or 3 times. He texts me before every preseason game to tell me good luck and go out there and ball out. But, obviously it's tough. I wish he was here, But I understand it. And, it is what it is.
All right, thank you, Mercedes.
No, you got it.
All right, Lewis, 2 catches, 28 yards. Tonight, the leading receiver, Justin Blackmon, 4 for 72. He looked terrific in limited action. And, if you're going to look for positive, it's right there tonight. Now, the Jaguars' defense struggled against Joe Flacco in that hurry-up. 571 yards of offense, 433 from the passing game, 138 on the ground. Flacco finished with 266, completed 27 of 36. You do the math, that's 75% completion, folks. And threw two touchdowns, one interception, 102.3 passer rating. Tyrod Taylor was 7 of 9 for 139. Most of his was after the catch. Two touchdowns, ran for one as well, passer rating 118.8. So there you go. There are the numbers in the Wells Fargo stats check. We're done in the locker room. We're about to hand it off to Cole and Marco. But first, time for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. First series, Joe Flacco effortlessly moves the ball all the way down to the 5-yard line. Jaguars stuff him on first down, stuff him on second down, and on third down, it was a combo play between Rasheen Mathis and Terrence Knighton. For empty backfield, Flacco takes the snap, 3-man rush. Now he's going to get hit and sacked! Terrence Knighton put him on the ground back at the 17-yard line, and the Jaguars' defense forces a field goal opportunity. And it was nothing early, but that was a strong sign from the Jaguars' defense. That, you know, it's never as bad as it looks, consequently never as good as it looks either. But early on, the Jaguars' defense gave us a couple of plays. That particular play, our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time, here we go. A lot of people to thank for the broadcast this evening. First of all, the folks from CopyFax for printing our game charts as well as they do every single week. Jason DeFore and the whole gang, appreciate you guys. Up next, of course, J.P. Shadrick for his exceptional work on the sidelines. Glad to have him with us this year. In the booth, well, I mean, you know what it's all about. First of all, John Dineen, Atlantic Beach's own, making his way up here on his own. We always appreciate seeing him. And, well, Scott Kushner, you're just the silent stability of our broadcast. But it all goes right here on the shoulders of our man, Joe Fortunato. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know it, but he was effortless, just like Joe Flacco tonight. Joe Fortunato, Joey F., our MVP in the booth here. So that'll do it for Jeff Longman. I'm Brian Sexton. Final score, not a happy one, 48-17, but it's still the preseason. We're going to hand it off to Cole and Marco for more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars lose 48-17. Marco, it's a kind of a rough night for the Jaguars in a lot of ways, but it could be worse. They could be Lance Armstrong. Mm. Breaking news here that the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency is going to strip Armstrong of his 7 Tour de France titles and ban him from cycling for life.
Woo!
So
that's a lot of hard work to just come and just pull the rug out under you like that.
Going to be interesting to see if people will continue wearing the Live Strong stuff and so forth. I mean, he's more than a...
Did he ever he didn't test positive for anything. And then, I mean,
you know, there have been reports that he did recently and retests and different things. He certainly was the most tested. Now, you ask me, it's probable that everybody in cycling is doing something to try to gain the advantage.
How far is those rides? Like, they're riding for days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Tour de France, you're talking about a three-week thing. So, anyhow, that's the just a latest update there that just came within the last 10 or 15 minutes. an update there. All right, Jaguars lose at 48-17. Let's talk big picture.
Mm-hmm.
After game one, I think the sensation was and the sort of feeling was, you know what, not that bad. Game two, all right, I think we got something here. Game three, what are you thinking now?
Well, yeah, my views haven't changed. I never anticipated them. I never said that, okay, this team is definitely now a playoff team.
Right.
They're better. You know, you're talking about going from 5-11 now to, you know, to whatever they do this season, but they'll be better. And I don't think my views have changed. They went against a team, one on defense, the best they're going to see in the league. You're only going to see that once or twice during the course of the season and having to play at their place. Then offensively, they came out with the up-tempo. I'm pretty sure defensively they haven't worked on it. You're missing, you know, only a limited time for Rasheen, limited time for Alualu, no Derek Cox, no Daryl Smith. Those things are crucial. I mean, those are four players. That's a big part of your defense. Without those guys in there, I would expect a full-strength Ravens offense to have the type of success that they had. If they didn't, then I would be looking at some serious problems over there at the Baltimore Ravens. Are they really Super Bowl contenders?
Mm-hmm.
A really balanced type of balanced team? It's a tough team they went against. And like I said, I was impressed that Blaine Gabbert didn't do things to hurt the team. You know, I think he still made decent decisions. No turnovers, no fumbles, no interceptions. I mean, it's only three penalties in the game, the whole game. That's not bad. It's just that they have a ways to go before the talent level actually reaches that of the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they're growing. It's a new year.
Yeah, and again, the Ravens are going to be one of the three or four teams that people will pick from the AFC to go to the Super Bowl. I think people will pick the Ravens. Certainly they'll pick the Patriots. Some might get a little happy and pick the Broncos because Peyton's there. Probably a little bit of a
Pittsburgh still.
Probably Pittsburgh still. Yeah, Pittsburgh there and Houston. Right, mm-hmm. those would be the teams that you're probably going to see people picking. Cincinnati might be one of those dark horse kind of teams that somebody will take out of the out of left field that you say maybe could be. But that's pretty much the group there. Nobody would doubt that Baltimore is in that group.
Definitely.
And so the Jaguars have had tests against three terrific teams. You had the mm-hmm. defending Super Bowl champs. You had the team that last year was the most potent passing offense the league had ever seen in terms of yardage. Mm-hmm. And this year you had, and this week you had, one of the best defenses that you'll see time and time and time and time and time. I mean, year in, year out, traditionally. I guess now the question is, where does this mean the Jaguars fit in? My feeling is, as it has been for a while, I think this is an 8-9 win team. I think that's what their potential is. So, again, injuries can derail things. But that was sort of my feeling after training camp and not so much going out looking. And you just grabbed the roster, the schedule. Yeah. And I'm not necessarily looking at each schedule and going this, that, win, loss, win, loss. I'm just saying looking at this, the feel of this team, that's about what I that's about what I'm feeling.
Well, I'm gonna have to differ. 8-9 is, I think, is a stretch. More like 6-7. You know,
you think they're only one or two games better than last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a good team, and that's better. They'll be better, and it won't be the losses. I don't think will be bad losses. I mean, if you can ever imagine that, you'll see a team that is going to be
more
better,
competitive,
a lot more competitive. Yeah. We're not going to see lopsided wins, poor performances where they're beating themselves. They play quite a few teams that are better than they are at this stage of where the Jaguars are. I think as the season goes on, they'll be a better team. They'll get better and better as the season goes on, provided the injuries doesn't curtail that and slow that process of maturation for the team. But, I mean, it's a pretty tough schedule. The places they have to go, the teams that will be coming in, but it'll be a competitive team, a lot more exciting to watch.
All right, we'll take time out, come back, talk about Blaine Gabbert in specific. What did he show today, and what does this mean now based on his preseason? We'll talk about the Jaguars quarterback in the passing game when we come back. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Reminder that nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More to come after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars lose at 48-17 to the Baltimore Ravens. Jaguars 2-1 on the preseason. Visit Sonny's today. Try their new barbecue baskets. The slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket, $7.99. Or for just a little bit more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. All right, I want to talk about Blaine Gabbert and where he is throughout all this. Clearly, statistically, this was his weakest game of the year so far, although this is the first game where he's had multiple drops as well. I mean, there were several drops that on balls that certainly looked like they should have been caught. We have to take a closer look as we get a chance to check out game film and so forth. But Gabbert, 11 of 21, 117 yards and a quarterback rating of 68.9. But let's take this again. I want to look big picture if we can here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what the progress and big picture is, I think, where you have to start in the preseason.
It's preseason practice games, and I think he practiced well.
Did you just go Allen Iverson on me?
I mean, but he practiced well. I mean, is just practice, because this all goes to zero once we hit September.
All right, so here are Blaine Gabbert's numbers in the preseason thus far. He's 29 of 47 passing. That's 62%. 291 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a fumble.
You'll take that. Solid defense. Get you some special team help, and you got a good-looking season. A team that's going to be very competitive. You got some teams that are going to be explosive. We're going to have to do a little bit more, but I think the potential that you have in Rashard Jennings for four quarters, Blackman for four quarters. You know, they have the potential to be a very, very solid football team that if they don't, if other teams don't bring their best game, they'll get ran out of the park.
Yeah, and we're going to compare this to last year's numbers for Gabbard. He completed just over 50% last year. He's at 62% in the preseason this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year, lost 5 of 14 fumbles.
Right.
This year, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, lost the one fumble. So here's a guy who clearly, not only from the eye test, but also just statistically speaking, clearly has done so far, has taken a step forward. Now, here's the naysayer. It's just the preseason. What does it matter? Well, in the preseason, that's all you got right now.
That's all you got. And what it is, like I said, it's practice. He's prepared well. He's done the things. He's practiced good habits. You know, so if he can carry over the habits he's inherited here during the preseason into the regular season, you're going to have a quarterback that's going to be good. And he's only going to get better as he gets more and more comfortable with the scheme, as they expand the scheme, as they go into more and more in-depth type of game planning and things of that nature. I think Blaine Gabbert is going to have a really good season.
All right, we'll take time out, come back, talk about the defense that gave up a bunch of yards tonight. 571 top to bottom. A lot of that came late. But
Mel's not happy.
Not all of it. So we'll talk about that when we come. Yeah, Mel Tucker.
Not a happy
camper. I have a little work to do. Back after this on the Winn-Dixie Post Game Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. Jaguars lose it 48-17 to the Baltimore Ravens today. Buehler Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch to the Jaguars. Buehler Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Defensively, 571 yards given up, 433 through the air. You look at the numbers for Joe Flacco, he was not tested too much. A lot of short passes, though.
Mm-hmm.
27 to 36, 266 yards. Average per attempt, 7.4 yards per attempt. The guys who came in later, Tyrod Taylor and Curtis Painter, averaged over 15 yards an attempt to give you an idea of some of those big scores down the field. Flacco did have a 32-yard pass, but just very efficient. The two touchdowns, the one interception at the end of the half, you know, kind of just on a heave. It wasn't much. I mean, a little more than a punt. Despite that, a quarterback rating over 100. He looked the best of any of the three quarterbacks we've seen, Eli Manning, mm-hmm. Drew Brees, although Brees had the one drive that was very impressive, and then Flacco, but looking very good. You mentioned, though, off the top of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, you're not as concerned about it because of the number of defensive starters the Jaguars did not have in the ballgame. Rasheen Mathis was limited. Derek Cox didn't play at all.
Daryl Smith
didn't play at all.
Alu-Alu
was limited. Yeah, they were rotating with Alu-Alu and Knighton and C.J. Mosley. So it wasn't a full-bore group. That being said, boy, 571 yards of offense and 266 through the air for Flacco against the first-teamers. You'd expect the sixth-ranked defense in the league last year to be better than that.
Well, they will be better. I really do think so. Again, you're missing some very integral parts of that defense. The reason why they were six last season was because of Cox, because of Mathis, because of Smith, because of Alu-Alu. I mean, so now you take those guys out, you take six, you roll down about 26 without them, obviously. So, you know, Flacco, they were at full strength. And this is not a bad offense. Flacco was probably one of the better quarterbacks at not killing his team and being efficient. I mean, he had a lot of Rice had a lot of catches. So he's, Flacco's not going to put his team in a bad situation by trying to force the ball downfield. He's going to take what the defense gives you. And that's one of the things that they were doing. They were giving up a lot of depth at the linebacker position in their coverage to where a lot of those underneath crossing routes, they got them pretty much all day. Running backs versus running backs and receivers against Paul Lesney.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a mismatch all day.
And one of the things to note as well, mentioned that 32-yard gain of the longest game. That was to Torrey Smith, who can absolutely fly, and that was on a little shorter pass that he turned
right
up. and turn it into a big gainer. So something, again, we've seen in the last two games, there have been stretches. This was a longer stretch than it was against the Saints. The Jaguars, without their full complement of guys out there on defense, do have some vulnerabilities there. So maybe that talks to the depth beyond the top 14 or 15 defensive players. Maybe that's the issue there. We'll see. That's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on, though. I don't know that we'll have an answer for it next week on Thursday here against the Falcons. But as you open up, look at the schedule the first month of the season. Jaguars go to Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Christian Ponder, we think he's a good young quarterback, but he's certainly not.
Don't have a lot of weapons right now, especially we don't know what's the deal with Peterson.
Yeah, so there's one. The Texans, you know they're going to test you throwing the football with Schaub and Andre Johnson and the rest of that group. Colts, Luck has looked pretty good. He's still a rookie, and we don't know if he's got much to throw to, but he certainly has looked good in the preseason so far in the two games that I've had a chance to see
Anytime,
him.
All of the divisional games are going to be tough games. I mean, I think it's just
I'm just saying specifically in terms of pass defense. What are they going to be facing?
Right.
And then against the Bengals, you're definitely going to be facing – with Dalton and A.J. Green and Gresham and that whole group.
They don't get better the next week either with Chicago.
Cutler
is
again,
a gunslinger.
Yeah. And so you're going to, before the bye week comes up, those first five games, Jaguars' pass defense is definitely going to be tested. So they're going to have to get things rounded into form and get everybody on the field and at the same time. In terms of the pass rush, the short passing game by the Ravens took some of that out from the Jaguars. They were rushing a little bit of blitz, not a lot. A couple of times they worked that in. But largely with that short passing game, the Jaguars weren't able to get to the quarterback much. And the Jaguars were playing back a little bit defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them, when they have their full complement of defensive backs in there, to play more press coverage this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mel will have a lot more confidence in those guys, in Cox and in Mathis, and being able to get in people's faces and really pull that thing down. Better coverage. And coordinating that with the rush will result in more pressure. And that was the thing, just pressure on the quarterback. They got the two sacks, but there was no pressure consistently on the quarterback. And, again, a lot of short passes, quick throws, and Flacco was one of the best at hurry up and getting the ball out of his hands.
All right, we'll take time out, come back with a Sexton summary. Also, still to come here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, we have the protector of the game and the coverage of the game, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all straight ahead on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose the first preseason game of the Mike Mularkey era right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars lose it 48-17. Time now for the Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Ryan Sexton, brought to you by Metro PCS. Let's start with the Jaguars trailing 3-0. Baltimore in the second quarter on a 12-play, 85-yard march. Joe Flacco taking his time, working his way downfield, and from the 5-yard line, he went to an old reliable receiver.
And his play action, Flacco turns and throws. He's got a man wide open. Anquan Boldin, touchdown.
Made it a 10-0 ball game. It was 13-0 after the Ravens' undrafted rookie kicker Justin Tucker booted one from 53 yards out. It would be 13-3 after Scobie answered with a 25-yard field goal. And at the end of the first half, the Jaguars' defense would get their first turnover of the game.
Flacco, under some pressure, rolling out, turns and wants to plant and throw the ball, and this one's going to be deep, and this one's going to be intercepted by Dwight Lowry, and he's out of bounds at what amounts to the goal line, and that will end the first half.
With a score 13-3, Jaguars had the first possession with three plays and out. Flacco and company got it back, marched downfield, 11 plays, 80 yards. 8-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Leach made it a 20-3 ball game. Jaguars tried to cut it to 20-6, but Josh Scobie's field goal caromed off the left upright, and that would be it for Flacco. Tyrod Taylor entered the ball game, and another 7-play, 80-yard drive made it 27-3. It would be 34-3 after Taylor capped a 10-play drive with a 5-yard touchdown run. Jaguars defense would finally then make a play.
Pressure coming up the middle. Taylor turns and throws, and this one's going to be intercepted. Antonio Denard going back the other way. 50, 45, 40. He's got blockers. He's at the 30 with a burst of speed. Middle of the field. There he goes to the 20. He's got some room to run. He better turn on the speed. He's at the 10, the 5, and that's a touchdown. And Antonio Denard has put his name in the record books here.
They made it 34-10. Ravens would score again. Taylor directing another 80-yard drive, 41-10 at that point, and the Jaguars would get one more chance to get in the scorebook.
And he hands the ball off to Murphy. There's a hole to the right side. He's trying to get out. He's at the 10. He's at the 5, and he leaps for the end zone, and he's got a Jacksonville touchdown.
Nice run.
All right, so Richard Murphy's 13-yard run made it 41-17. Curtis Painter, the third quarterback in for the Ravens, threw a touchdown pass to Tommy Streeter. They get 48-17, and that was the final score, and that is the Sexton Summary. The Metro PCS Sexton Summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Back with a protector of the game and the coverage of the game right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose to the Ravens 48-17 to drop to 2-1 in the preseason. Time now for the protector of the game brought to you by Insurance Office of America. Marco, what do you have for the protector of the game?
Well, I got to spread it across six different guys.
Oh.
You know, that offensive line and that tight ends, man. These guys, it doesn't matter who you plug in as a running back, they open up some holes for them. You know, behind the great coaching that they're receiving from the offensive line coach to the new running back coach in Sylvester Crooms, the running game is really functioning well because of that offensive line, the ability of the running backs to go where they're supposed to go. So I'm going to have to say the offensive line has been doing a really good job all preseason.
All right, time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, depend on us for life. Coverage of the game.
Now, Antonio Denard kind of struggled during the course of the time when he was in there, but he came up with a big play, got us on the board. You know, he came up with the big interception for a touchdown. I'm going to have to go ahead and say his coverage in picking off that pass from Tyrod is going to be my pick of the coverage of the game.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yes, sir.
Jaguars, there wasn't a lot of great coverage in this ball game for the Jaguars top to bottom. Might as well give it to a guy who took it back took
to
it
the house.
Distance. All right. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to have comments from Maurice Jones-Drew. Reporters caught up with him today at an appearance at a car dealership in town, and we'll hear from Maurice Jones-Drew, his comments from earlier today. But when we come back, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose in Baltimore 48-17. Marco Coleman has it. Here comes the good.
Oh, this is what
the bad.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
I'm building up the drama.
I'm ready to go. These Jags got me excited, man.
I'm giving you dramatic, kind of, you know, majestic intro. Let me try that again.
All right, let it go. Let it go.
Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. take three. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose in Baltimore 48-17. Now, Marco Coleman brings you the good, the bad, wait for it, and the ugly.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, man, a good thing that's going on right now is Mr. Blackman and Mr. Jennings. These guys are showing that they have the big play ability that's going to really make a big difference in the way this offense is going to go. Whether Maurice comes back or not, these two guys, I look for big time plays from these two guys. We saw it all preseason and also did it again tonight. Now, bad, LaRon Robinson. I don't know where he's been all preseason. He's looked to be one of the players that's going to make a difference. Time for him to do it. Real, you know, didn't show up tonight. You know, I had four balls to him. One was on a PI, but he dropped it. The other two, you know, questionable whether he could have caught him, but he's got to make some big plays, getting played to pay the big bucks. Now, ugly was the cardoffs, man. This was not a good game for the Jags that pertains to injuries. These guys, not only were they getting injured, but these guys had to jump on the court and get rolled out of there. Now, and there are also guys that are looking for spots on this team. So that makes for a very ugly situation. When you're trying to make a team, getting injured, you can't go out, get plays to be evaluated. So a tough situation and a feel for those guys that got injured and carted off today.
All right, next up for the Jaguars, they'll take on the Atlanta Falcons. That will be a Thursday game a week from tonight. 6:30 kickoff, which means we'll get out of here earlier.
Ooh.
You know, folks have a chance to get home. Maybe even go to work on Friday morning. Mm. Maybe. Maybe
one
not.
One eye open.
Maybe.
Stumbling in.
We will not see the starters play nearly as long as we did tonight in that bowl game for sure. Tonight, the Jaguars got their first taste of humble pie in the preseason. Mike Mularkey saying after the ball game that maybe this will knock the team off their high horse a little bit. And while Mercedes Lewis contended that this team was not feeling like they had already arrived. And maybe a little bit of a dose of reality to get him back and focused is just what the doctor ordered. You certainly heard from a very sensible and measured and logical and rational head coach after the ball game, and I think that's going to reflect well in terms of the way the Jaguars go about things and how the players respond this week heading into the final preseason game. Stick around in Jacksonville. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next right here on Jaguars Radio.